Please turn to your Bibles again, 1 Samuel chapter 16. I'm so glad that we are studying books of the Old Testament and going through systematically and deriving from books like 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel coming, precious lessons which I hope and trust and pray that you will not forget. For therein are most wonderful teachings for us in this 21st century. It's very relevant, fresh, and powerful and applicable. Chapter 16 leads us on to a sad moment in the history of the nation of Israel. Their first king had failed. How would you respond or react if the leader of the nation is rejected? And this was exactly what had happened, that Saul was rejected for his disobedience. We have recited that verse, to obey is better than sacrifice. Please remember, when God saves us, calls us, He wants to use us, every one of us. Don't say it's only for the king. When God saves you, you know, one day you, being saved by the Lord, will be made to be kings and priests of God. That is coming. Before then, obey is expected. For how can you be a servant of someone and you do not obey? It is ridiculous, impossible, you say. And yet, oftentimes, we do disobey. And for a king to disobey openly, repeatedly, blatantly, is not on. God is not pleased. To all of us then, I say, how are you serving the Lord? Please let us be honest. Man looks on the outward appearance. You pretend to serve the Lord, pretend to be very holy on a Sunday, and the rest of the week you do something else. God looks at the heart. Men may say you are all right, but God sees differently. My dear friends, in this lesson of the rejection of King Saul, there are profound lessons for all of us. God does not want your sacrifice at all. What God wants is, my son, give me your heart. Your heart is the one that I want. And the heart means my mind, my obedience, my affection, my loyalty. Do you have loyalty to God? That's all that matters with God. Not how much you give. You give only because He gave you. But God says, look, forget about the gift. Come, let's have first things first. Basic principle, you want to serve God? Obey. Sadly, for Saul, he did not have this heart of obedience. He disobeyed once, twice again. And God says, that's it. Samuel, I finish with Saul. Now, Samuel was the one who conveyed that message to Saul. But that night, he couldn't sleep. And he mourned for Saul. That's where we are today. Verse 1. All right. You remember last week we said, he wept the whole night. While the rest of the people were sleeping, Samuel was crying, "How sad my king is rejected by my God." You feel? If the leader here were rejected by God, feel for it. Pray for him. Verse 1, the Lord said to Samuel, "Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Now, God is never caught by surprise. Neither does he get into a flap and say, what to do? Emergency. With God, there are no emergencies. Saul has failed. God has already, long time ago, prepared a successor, a better man, to do the work. For he knows, here is a man who is after my own heart. This is what God is looking for today. No matter who you are, how long you are a Christian, the same principle applies. God is looking for men and women after his own heart. Meaning to say, what God says, I say amen. What he tells me to do, I say yes, I will do. And I do. A man after my own heart. Where does it say so? Yes. The same verse, it says, "I have provided me a king among the sons of Jesse." Now the rest of the story we have read already. Jesse had 8 sons. Anyone here with 8 sons? Amazing. In the days of God's blessings, of absolute good planning, 8 sons. I come from a family of 8 children. 5 sons. It's good. Nowadays, it's so rare to have more than 2 or 3 because of the tremendous family planning campaign of the 1960s. You know what they said? 2's enough. Stop. All kinds of incentives and disincentives. Everybody cut down. Now, only 1. Very sad. If it had been like that, there won't be a Sam, David, you know. He's number 8. He'd never see the light of day. But God called the last one to be the one of his choice. So, the story we know. Samuel, like as he had chosen Saul, tall, handsome, able, impressive, here it is, Eliab or Eliab. Surely, verse 6 says, this must be the man, number 1. After all, the eldest son has a precedent, right? Toa kia. You know that? Big son. Special. He must be the one. What did God say? Verse 7. The Lord said to Samuel, look not on his countenance. Don't say he's so tall, so dark, so handsome. No. I have refused him already. I know him. God looks at the heart of everyone. You know that when Israel was in great trouble and God raised David to come to the battlefront, this big brother scolded him. You naughty boy, what are you doing here? And what did David say? Is there not a cause? If my God is being insulted, my people are being belittled, and you do nothing, all of you cowering and afraid of Goliath. Eliab said, you naughty boy, why did you come here? God knew that man did not have the courage of David. Agree? So don't look at the face. Don't look at the outward appearance. God looks at the heart, so we must always come before the Lord and hide no secrets Make no pretense. No play acting. God hates play acting. Pretending to be what you are not. That is called hypocrisy. 挂羊头卖狗肉, right? Don't pretend. Put a sheep's head and sell dog's meat. This is what God hates. So let us all come before Him. And here God says, not the first. Okay, maybe second. Not the second. Right down the line until seven all failed. But those were the seven available. Hey, Jesse, seven sons are all failed, you know. Have you got any more sons? Oh, I forgot. Yeah, the youngest one. The one we overlook. The one who has to stay back and look after the sheep. Samuel says, call for him and fetch him. Verse 11. We will not sit down till he comes, because God already puts in his heart. Dear friends, can you be like a man like Samuel? God speaks to him direct. We today cannot have that privilege. But God can speak to us in the quietness of our moments of quiet time through His Word, through your meditation, in your prayers, in your moment of absolute surrender before Him. He will tell you. He will show you. You know that? But you must be obedient and bear your heart before Him. Samuel knew exactly now. Not the first seven, number eight. Verse 12. And Jesse sent and brought him. Who? David, shepherd boy. The one who wrote, the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. And wrote 72 psalms, plus many others that he did not put his name. Amazing man. He is the man. Are you such a man? Please pray and yearn and long and ask the Lord, Lord, make me like a David. A man after God's own heart who is willing to obey, ever ready to do what you tell me to do, I will do. That's all God wants us to do. Do what I tell you to do. How can you know? Right? Verse 12. And so the father sent and brought in David, ruddy, with a beautiful countenance, good to look at, and said, now, Samuel, this is the man. Arise and anoint him. This is he. Verse 13. Samuel obeys, as he always does. Wonderful man. Please make him your model. Follow him. Weep for the fallen as he wept for Saul. And do as God tells you to do. This is the one. David. The family don't think too much of him, but God does. And that's all that matters. I say the same to all of you here, dear friends. Not what people think, but what God thinks of you is important. Verse 13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. Wonderful. What is the meaning of the anointing? This is our title, by the way. The anointing of a man. What is the meaning? It is an outward ceremony to signify that this man is marked out for special duty. He is to be the king. How do we acknowledge that he will be the king? Today in England, what do they do? No oil. What do they do? Crown. Right? On this auspicious day, if our Queen Elizabeth were to pass away, whether it's Charles or his son, we do not know. But one of them will be put to sit on the throne, and the Archbishop will come with a crown and say, you will be the king, crowning. In those days, anointing. God sets his seal outwardly for the nation to see, for the elders to see, for everybody to know that David has been anointed. He will be the next king. This is God's choice. Now that is only the first step, but more important, read on please, more important, and that can happen to you. The Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Amazing. Oh, dear friends, pray for one thing. Lord, give me that unction, that anointing of the Holy Spirit. Today we don't use oil. No more. But today the anointing goes on. God still anoints his servants for special duties. And whereas in those days it was confined only to king, priest, prophet, special categories that God used in those days to signify and to mark them out, all was put on the head with a prayer, and that man became marked, anointed, and to receive God's special care and special unction for special duties. Today, no more. Today, God continues to anoint, but not with oil, but with the Holy Spirit. And this is the application, the anointing of a man. Does God still use men? Answer is absolutely yes. For God's purpose on earth is always transacted, executed, carried out by frail mortals such as you and me. Do you know that God can use you? Don't underestimate and devalue yourself. Say, oh, others can, but not me. What can I do? Right? Wrong. God can use you, my dear friends, whoever you are, no matter how young or how old. Remember, how old was Samuel when God began to use him? How old? A boy, a child, weaned from the mother. And God spoke to him. How about us here? The anointing is to all such as have the heart of God. A man after God's own heart. You can be anointed, for God wants you to serve him. Now, as I said, the important thing was after the anointing, verse 13, please see that. And this is very important to note. The Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Oh, how blessed it is to have the Spirit of God come upon you. Do you know? When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit came, helped you to believe, led you to the Savior, enabled you to believe in him, and then dwells in your heart to be Lord and Master, otherwise you could not be a Christian. You know that? If not, thank God that you have, and know it, and thank God every day, and live like it, to know that the Holy Spirit of God is upon you, in you, dwells in your heart, directs your thinking, your doing, your serving. But the sad thing is in verse 14. Very sad. Please see, and we read together. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. How sad it is, because of his disobedience, rebellion, the Spirit of God has departed from him. Now, how does this anointing apply to all of us here? Will you please turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians? And may this day's lesson bring you much joy and encouragement and courage to go and to serve Him in a way you never knew you could. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. We want to read this together, everybody, because these are very precious verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. All right, make sure you find it. Then verses 21 and 22. Are you ready, everybody, please? 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. Together. Now he who established with you in Christ has anointed us, is God, who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. You are a believer. You came and acknowledged Him and publicly confessed Jesus Christ is my Savior, right? All of us who came and believed, this is what has happened to you. When you accepted Jesus, when you received Him as your Savior and believed Him as the only begotten Son of God, your Savior, this happened. He establishes us with you in Christ, anointed us in God. With what were you anointed? Did somebody put oil on you? No. But God put oil of the Holy Spirit, anointed you. Where? In your heart. Please know this is what the Word of God tells us. When you truly, earnestly, honestly, sincerely come publicly and say, I acknowledge Jesus as my Savior, God does an amazing work of grace in your heart, all of you. What did He do? He anointed you with the Holy Spirit and put the Holy Spirit in you, to dwell in you. Otherwise, you could not come and acknowledge Jesus as my Savior. Because that is the work, that is the evidence you have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is in you. Now see, verse 22. He has also sealed us. What is to seal? To mark out as special to God. Won over out of the world into the kingdom of God. You are. When you acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Savior and come publicly to declare and to confess Him, you are marked out as belonging to God, sealed. And you are given the earnest of the Spirit in your hearts, the first installment, as it were, the first payment, that in your heart there is now the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, even as the Holy Spirit came upon David. Right? You read that just now? When Samuel put the oil, and said, this is the king to serve God, to lead the people, the next verse says, and the Holy Spirit came upon him from that day, dwelt with him, worked with him, enabled him. So it is, dear friends, all of us here, you have that wonderful privilege and promise. If you believe Jesus as your Savior, He also calls you. We have heard this verse so often times, so many times. The harvest is plenteous. The laborers are few. Pray that the Lord will call laborers into His harvest field. Do you pray? Pray, because when you pray, who knows, God may call you, put His Spirit upon you, anoint you, and send you, not to necessarily to Africa or New Guinea or some distant place, but right where you are. This is where God wants us to be. Just where you are. Filled with the Spirit, anointed, set up for special service, for God can use you. Think of the world. Look at society. Anytime you go to any kind of public place, how few there are who believe Jesus. All want the world and the glitter of the world and the things of the world. That is number one. Jesus, we don't know who He is. Are you concerned, dear friends? Do you think about these people? Are you moved when such a thing is brought to your notice that there are so few who believe, so few who want to come into God's kingdom, but they prefer the kingdom of the world? Does that bother you? God's anointing is to touch your heart. So you who have believed, you have received the grace of God, the salvation, promise, and the hope of eternal life. Why don't you go and be my witness in your home? How can I be a witness in my home? Of course. How is your family worship getting on? How is your own quiet time getting on? My dear friends, we must be earnest and sincere in a day of great peril. We read, we are told, we live in perilous times, and yet it hardly touches us. We don't feel it, we don't know it, we just forget it, and we live like business as usual. I'm saying, dear friends, business is not as usual, not for much more. The days ahead are not good days. And if so, it only reminds us our citizenship is in heaven, not on earth. Nobody here has a PR in Singapore. No, only TR, temporary, all of us. And the sooner you realize this, the better. The sooner you realize my home is up there, my citizenship is up there. From whence I look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Is He your daily hope, friends? I ask you, earnestly, honestly, is He your daily hope? Is He the one you look to, hope for, yearn for, long for every day? If so, you say, thank God you've given me the anointing, the Holy Spirit. Let me go and do something for Him. Are you? Is it too hard? Oh, my friends, if our Lord did not find it too hard to go to Gethsemane, not too hard to walk to Calvary with a cross, not too hard to go ascend that horrible cross of torture, all for you and for me. And you say, I can't do anything. Other people can. How can I do family worship in my house? It's too difficult. I have no time. Oh, my friends, wait till you are prostrate in a hospital bed. Recently, I've been visiting hospitals, as I always do whenever there is a case. And every hospital visit is a salutary experience. It causes me to think, why should this one be on wheelchair? That one with tubes and things running all over the place to keep alive? And everywhere you find people are completely helpless, depending on nurses and doctors to be alive. It could be me, could be you. So I say, every visit to hospital is a salutary experience to remind you, life is not yours. At your command. Anointing is to tell you, you have been called out of darkness of the world into the marvelous light of the kingdom of God, and like as David was anointed, you too. You as a believer, today this anointing is available for all who believe. I want to close with a verse. John's Gospel, chapter 7, and then you will be encouraged. John's Gospel, chapter 7, verses 37 to 39. And may God speak to you out of these verses. John's Gospel, chapter 7, verse 37. In the last day of that great feast, John 7:37, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. Now, verse 38. Please read with me, because it applies to you. Together, verse 38. He that believes on me, The scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. That's you, if you have believed in Jesus. It says you believe in him. That belief, that faith in you will cause you to have rivers of living water, that is the word of God, which is like life-giving water, out of what? Your belly. Meaning to say from within you, from your heart, will come the gospel message, the word of life, like a river to those who are perishing in drought, in thirst. They have no water, for without the word of God, all men perish for lack of the life-giving water. You have it. What are you doing about it? Don't say, well, David is David. Let David do it. But I say, in David's time, very few were filled with the Holy Spirit. Very few were given that blessing. Today, the Lord says, whosoever believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his belly will come rivers of living water. Holy Spirit comes upon you. How does he come upon you? This is the promise of God. It's not that you have done anything except to come to Jesus, believe on him, obey him, receive him. And he says, out of your belly, out of your heart, and out of your mouth will come the message of salvation, which is like rivers of living water to those who have never heard of Jesus. Are you willing to go? Anointing of the Holy Spirit is for you and for me. To know that God has a plan. And God's plan on earth is never executed by angels, but by you and me. Sinners saved become messengers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That in this gospel there is life, there is hope, there is light, there is a future to look forward to. You can go, I can go. Are you? Let us pray. May the Spirit of God speak to someone today who has never done anything for God. Think of those who need to be visited at home, those who need to be prayed for. You can pray for others from your home. You can go and visit and pray together, sing a gospel chorus together, read a Bible verse together. That can be done by you. Have you done it? There is so much more we can do. May God speak to you today. Our Father in heaven, may thy love constrain us. Touch some heart. Move those who are willing, those who have received thy salvation grace, that they will not keep it to themselves, but will say, Lord, take my life. Let it be consecrated, beautiful for thee. Lord, send us forth. Anoint us with the Holy Spirit, that out of our hearts and mouths will come living waters of God's grace and gospel. We ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.